Blog Talk Radio.
I want you to lean on God and trust His promise record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do.
Oh, my God can do the impossible.
I know He can. I've seen Him do it. Turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle. I've seen Him do whatever problem you've got. Just let it go. Just give it to God. He'll work it out. How do I know? How do I know what God can do? I've seen Him do it. 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 I've seen Him. I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you. When your back is against the wall, just know that God will not leave you. Listen, when your life has gone straight, you deserve it coming you. When it's great,
how God works,
how God works. When you erase your past,
you erase your past,
people can't have a single it in your face. That's how God works. He just delivered my brother from a drug addiction. Don't you tell me God can't work miracles.
It hurts.
Make a way. He's a provider.
freedom.
Hey. You know your name. Even you may not know that he knows your name. She knows your name. I sing it to her. Nobody greater. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all. This is Thankful Thursday, hallelujah. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So Father God, we come with thanksgiving. We thank you for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we even learn how to pray. We learn when to pray. We learn how to worship. It is in your word, Father God, that we can pray. We can say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you in the holy name of our Lord, our creator of heaven and earth. I thank you for it. I come to you as a son, as a daughter today. I come to you, Father God, abiding in truth. And indeed, Christ is the head. Indeed, Christ is the Savior of the world. So I come acknowledging, Father God, that Christ is thy only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that everything we need is in him. We humble ourselves, Father God, and we say to you, Heavenly Father, teach us, direct us, show us in which way we should go. I call upon you, Lord, because I know, Heavenly Father, that you know what's best for us. We know, Father God, what you call us to do and what you call us to be. So we thank you for that. We thank you, Father God, that you're hearing and answering this prayer in such a way, Father God, that the people that are around will understand that healing is available. Just put themselves in agreement with the word of God. Right now, Father God, I just bind up every tumor, every growth, every tissue, every organ, Father God, every tissue that's functioning not like it should be. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We forbid, Father God, any male factor in the body. In the name of Jesus, we cast it down, Father God. I lift my daughter before you, Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I say we bind up everything that's causing any growth, anything that's not like you, or anything that shouldn't be in that body. We bind it in the name of Jesus, Father God. I call it destroyed. Satan, you are off your assignment. There will be no virus in her. There will be no tumors in her. There will be no blood clot in her. We call it down in the name of Jesus. And we demand it to stop functioning right now. You're off your assignment, Satan, right now. Sickness and disease, you're off your assignment. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. Jesus, Lord, you are You are Lord over sickness. You are Lord over diseases. It have no power over you, Father God. Have no power over us. Have no power over my daughter. I'm forgiven, Father God, of sin. I'm not guilty because of your word. I'm dead to sin, but alive to your righteousness, which is your word. And Father God, you have bore our sickness. You bore her sickness. And we thank you for it. And we continue to plead the blood of Christ over her right now in Jesus' mighty name. One other thing, Father God, I want to remind Satan that we refuse that sickness because your word says, Father God, that we in life, in your word, we bind up all infirmities, all boils, all sickness, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we believe in healing. We believe that we don't have to think like the world thinks. So I thank you, Father God. And we call it done in your mighty Son Jesus' name. Ask you, Father God, that those that need to hear a word through this broadcast, let them hear something that will change their life. And we ask these in all blessing in Christ's name. For his sake, we pray. Everybody agree with this prayer, said amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. We're talking about being blind to God's true grace. Blind to God's true grace. And yesterday we talked about, you know, grace being one of God's character. And let me say this too, brothers and sisters, as we'll just pick up on Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, okay, well, trying to come up, praise God. I'm going to ask Evangelist William, if she'll be so kind to read that out of the Message Bible, if you have it. That's Ephesians.
One moment.
Chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. I'll read it out of the King James first. You can read out the Messenger. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved.
Yes, Pastor. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 out of the Messenger Bible. Instead, immersed in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sins, dead lives, and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Amen, amen.
So God expressed his love toward those who are unloving. God expressed his love, and I like to say he gave great mercy. Now, understand, brothers and sisters, that grace precedes mercy. See, this was just mercy right here. Grace had already taken place. So he said, God who is rich in mercy. So mercy came from grace. I want y'all to really get a hold of this right here. God shows mercy, but it came by way of grace. You didn't earn it. Ain't nothing you did for it. But God gave it to us. He gave us mercy through grace. So in Ephesians 2 and 4, love toward those who are really unloving. That's what I see here. Because even when we were dead to in sin, for those that don't know, until your spirit had been quickened made alive to the word of God. See, this ain't real to everybody. You're dead. You're dead. It takes that word getting in your spirit and you come alive. Because you may say, well, I'm already alive. No. There's another part of this that the optical nerve can't show you. There's another part of this that you can't get from a theological seminary. I always say cemetery. But there's a part that you can't get. You can't see this stuff. God have quickened us, made us alive, made us productive in the spirit. Our eyes became open to the spiritual things. And that's because you got born again.
Amen.
And he have quickened us together with Christ. How did he do that? I'm glad you asked. By his grace. That's how he did that. Because it's by his grace you're saved. And then he went a step further. See, this is a part of grace that people got to understand. He have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, meaning in the spirit. That in the age to come, he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, meaning the spirit. See, that's why he did that. That's the grace that people don't know. I mean, he was able to do that. He reached right down there and did the surgery while we were yet in sin, while we didn't even have his mind. We had a corrupt mind. But that's what grace did. Grace will always precede mercy. Grace will always precede because it expresses God's his love. We read over that yesterday, I think it was in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. We'll go back there again. But I think it was 1 Timothy 1 and 2. We read that. I guess I'll get here in a minute. I'm going to do it a little different. I'm going to let Evangelist William, go ahead on and read 1 Timothy 1 and 2.
Yes, Pastor, 1 Timothy 1 and 2. I, Paul, am an apostle on special assignment for Christ, our living hope, under God our Savior's command. I am writing this to you, Timothy, my son, in the faith. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. Amen, amen.
Unto Timothy, thank you very much, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith. Now, brothers and sisters, understand this was his son in the faith, in the word of God. He said, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ our Lord. He exalted them to maintain in the faith. And with that, he offered God's peace. He offered God's mercy. He offered the expression of who God is. And a lot of times, we have to live in that. One of the channels of one of God's characteristics, one of God's attributes. So in 2 Timothy 1 and 9, we'll go there. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, that's where we'll see God, attributes. It reads like this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hallelujah.
Yes, Pastor, 2 Timothy 1 and 2 from the Messenger Bible. Who first saved us and then called us to this holy work, We had nothing to do with it, all his idea. A gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Amen.
But that 2 Timothy 1 and 9?
Yes, 2 Timothy 1 and 9.
Okay, thank you so much. Listen, brothers and sisters. God did this for us before the foundation of the world. That's the kind of grace God had. He had it before it even happened. Well, preacher, that don't seem like it much. Think about it like this. Well, you know what? Now, this is where old people used to live. People back in the day, they used to live like this. In the event that something happened, I'm going to go in my under my mattress, and I'm going to get this money so I can get my son out of jail or get my daughter out of prison. They used to hide money just in the event, before something even happened. But they knew enough about life that in the event that something happened, they had a way to cover it. Well, that's what God said. Who he saved us, and he called us with a holy calling. God did this because that's one of his attributes. That's one of the things he does. That's who he is.
Yes.
That's what he does. And he says, you know what? Before Christ comes, I'm going to go ahead on and give you this grace, but you're going to have to find it in Christ Jesus. And he did it before the foundation of the world. Well, I just think that is just so awesome.
Yes.
Did you know you were saved before the foundation of the world if you're in Christ?
Yes.
He had already done. Already made provision. This was his plan. We had nothing to do with our plan. See, our plans were, well, if I move here and I can get a better education, I can go to college, I leave college, I'm going to get married and have children, and da-da-da-da-da. And we had all these plans. But God had another plan for us. And his plan came through grace. His plan came through kindness. Not that you can't carry out your plan, but I want you to know God already had another plan for you before the world began. God planned that Christ Jesus would show us his kindness and he save us. Woo! I just think that's the grace that people don't know about. God it was already embedded. Already embedded in salvation that he would do this. Then, here's another scripture I like. This is just so awesome. Over here in James, because see, these are God's characteristics and God's attributes. These are over here in James 4 and 6 in the book of James. Verse 4 and 6, I just love this. In James 4 and 6, let me find it here, it reads like this. Again, we're talking about God's attributes. We're talking about the things of God. It says, but he given more grace. Wherefore, he said unto God, resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And the seventh verse, let me go on and read the seventh verse. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. James 4, 6, and 7 from the Messenger Bible. What he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Amen, amen.
You might want to read that one again, sister. Lord, have mercy.
James 4, 6, and 7. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Amen, amen.
But he gives more grace. I just like the sound of that. You ever like the sound of he going to give you more grace? More, more, more. See, so where sin abide, grace much more abound. See, it like the devil want to say, I got you. He don't have you. God got some grace for that. Whatever level you at, God got grace for you. But he says, now here's what you got to do. You got to resist the proud. You can't be all buffed up. See, some folks be trying to learn stuff from God. You can't learn that from God when you all full of pride. First of all, God don't have time for that foolishness. He really don't. People, man, I could tell you so many scriptures. That's something God hates. God hates when people operate in pride. That's something he hates. Out of the six things God hates, that's one of them.
Amen.
He hates a proud look, proud mind. And you can't experience God's full grace by being like that. It's really pride. That's what it is. And we talked about that a little bit the other week. That's when the person displays it. And I want to say excessively, they displays it. Because they know all. Well, when you given, you can't get God's glory like that. You can't receive the things of God. Because when you proud, it's like being haughty, you know, like you're more important than everything else. So what you said, it's like proud is having a display of feeling of like scorn for what is regarded as beneath oneself. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people want to look at people like they beneath somebody, that person is beneath them, or they're not at their level for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe because of the position they have. You know, sometimes people get positions and then they become real powerful or whatever it is. God said, I can't deal with you like that. See, a lot of people, they carry that same spirit into wanting to praise God. God is not having it. So in the book of James, he said, resist that. Let that go. Let that spirit go. That spirit of pride, let it go. So God can work with you. Then he turns around. He said he give it to who? To those that will humble themselves.
Yes.
And to humble yourself, you got to be willing to submit. We were talking about the word submit. You got to be willing to yield. I was talking to my daughter about that this morning, about when you yield to God's way, then you put your way on the back burner. And you have to see, submitting is not a bad word. It's a good word. It's a good thing. But the devil don't want you to ever see that because you're yielding to a God. See, when you submit, that's what the word just said. Now, I didn't say this. He said, submit yourself, therefore, to God. See, until a person do that, and I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm going to tell you how. In order to submit yourself to God, you have to submit yourself to the Word of God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So you talk about submitting to God. How do you do that? Submit yourself to the Word of God. Bow to the Word of God. Surrender to the Word of God. Yield to the Word of God. In other words, give in. Say, okay, Lord, this is your will. Because a lot of people, they'll talk that talk, but they won't go to the scripture and try to find out. Well, you know, you ask God for something, and then you go to the word of God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm yielding to you. Show me. And he showed you, then roll with that. Cease to resist. Now, stop arguing about it. Lord, you know, stop putting demands. Lord, hey, this is what your word said. I'm going with it. You want to put yourself in agreement.
Yes.
You know, when you surrender, it's like you relent to that. Lord, I'm throwing in the towel. You got it, Lord. I'm deferring to you, Lord. I can't. I'm going your way, Lord. That's when God can use us the best. That's when he wants to use us. That's when he's going to do something. If you notice what that scripture said, look what he's going to do. He's going to give us more grace and more grace. And then eventually over there in the Messenger Bible, you're going to shout out, hey, and let the devil know, hey, I'm resisting you because I'm going to say what the word of God say. See, you can't do both. You got to do one or the other. So when you make the decision to do what the word of God says, that means you're resisting the devil. Amen.
Amen.
What you want to blame it on, but I'm telling you, when you are submitting to God, that means you're resisting the devil. If you don't submit to God, that means you're not, if you don't submit to God, then that means you haven't resisted the devil. And there is no middle. There is no 50-50 sort, you know. You either going to submit to God or you're going to submit to the adversary. You're going to got to do one or the other. I know people will tell you that it's you. It's not you. There's two powers in the universe. You're going to either be submissive to one or you're going to be submissive to the other. Now, the devil will make you think you're doing it, and he'll make you think this. But when you resist, that means you're refusing to give in to. So on one hand, you have to refuse to give in to the way the devil suggests things, like temptation and trying to understand the importance of submitting to God is understanding you're going to yield to God. To resist means you're going to run away from that thing, whatever it is. So when Satan suggests something, no, I ain't dealing with that. You know, you're going to withstand that. You're going to fight that. You're going to repeal that. You know, you're going to do the opposite. So the Bible tells us to resist the devil. Then you do the opposite of what he's offering. See? And somebody said the battle is not yours, no way. But you do have to play a part, and that is to resist. Resist the devil.
Yes.
And Jesus will make him flee. Hallelujah. Okay. Great. God is in, and we talked a little bit about that. I hadn't made another jump. Because he's full of grace. And I like that over there in John 1:14. In John 1:14, St. John 1:14, it says he's full of grace. So I'm going to ask Evangelist William, I'll go ahead and read it from King James first. But 1:14, it reads like this. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen, amen. John 1:14 from the Messenger Bible. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Amen, amen.
And we're going down the street a little bit to the 17th block. And John 1:17 says this, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So if you don't, well, go ahead. You can read that, please.
John 1:17 from the Messenger Bible. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. Amen, amen.
So look at it like this. Moses brought the law, and then he used the word but. So now you ought to get excited because something's going to come your way. But grace and I like to think the unearned, the undeserved favor, the thing you couldn't work for. Because, see, with the law, you always had to do stuff, had to do this and do that. That's the law. Actually, that's the difference between grace and the law. Because the law, you always had to be doing something. You had to do something. Had to bring this. You had to do this. You had to do that. That was the law. It was required. But with grace and truth, from understanding this right, it was unearned, undeserving, or undeserved favor of God. And truth came through Jesus Christ. That's the way this stuff came, man. So why wouldn't you want to be part of the new creation? I don't get it. Doesn't bother some people, but it bothers me. If you're not part of the new creation, then you're not part of the grace. So John gave that testimony about Jesus Christ in that 17th verse. So with that being said, the Spirit of grace come from the Holy Spirit. And I'm gonna park it there for right now. And then maybe tomorrow we'll pick up the Spirit of grace. Because it's so much there. There's a Spirit of grace. And everybody hadn't received that. That comes through obedience. That's one of God's valuable tools, for a better way of saying it. Because when he give you that tool, man, the Spirit of grace come through that Holy Spirit. When you get that Spirit of grace, you become a blessing to everybody you come across. Yeah.
Amen.
When you understand the word grace, you finna become a... You finna bestow that grace upon everybody. That's what I was saying over there about Paul. Paul said, grace be unto you from our Lord and Savior. He was operating in that thing, man. That's why he had to speak it out. So when you start operating into that grace, you know, you want to see everybody blessed. You want to see everybody going to the next level. You know, you ain't trying to hold anything, but you got to have the right spirit to receive this right spirit, the Spirit of grace. So I know if I get into that, but it was part of what God promised to us. He promised that spirit over there in the book of Zechariah, but we'll get into that tomorrow, perhaps. It supersedes a lot of things, and if you don't have it, then you ask God for it, because it'll help you overcome a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff you'll just overlook because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any substance. It doesn't have any validity. It doesn't have anything. So you just kind of like overlook that stuff when you operate in the Spirit of grace. Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. It's just another attribute And some people think, well, because they got one, they got it all. No, you don't. That's why God said he was the God of all grace. So that means there's a lot of other grace. Just like the grace of the Spirit to be able to operate in that grace.
Amen.
And something we have to learn. Have to learn. Once you get it, then you learn how to develop in that area. So we'll probably be talking about that as well. But now we're at a point where anybody like to have anything to say or share, press 1, and we'll let you in. Hallelujah. Anybody have anything you want to share, press 1. Hallelujah. Anyway, if not, anybody got anything they want to be thankful for? Thankful Thursday. I know I jumped right off into that lesson, but this is Thankful Thursday. I'm thankful to God for healing and delivering. Anybody have anything you want to be thankful for? Just press 1. Hallelujah. Anyway, hallelujah. Well, if not, but it's a going once, going twice. If not, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the...